From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. Michaela Guo plays piano in the orchestra at Princeton High School in New Jersey. Their spring musical was Anything Goes. She first saw the show during dress rehearsal.
I'm in the pit orchestra, so I'm below, and I look up and I see this character in this kimono.
This is Plum Blossom.
And she's wearing this rice paddy hat. Her hands are in a prayer pose. Her head is bowed. I was shocked.
Michaela, who is Asian American, saw a few problems with this. The kimono and the rice paddy hat are stereotypes from two different Asian cultures. The character herself had no lines and seemed to be only there for comic relief.
I didn't know what to think at first. I was surprised that they would think that putting on such a scene is okay.
The incident ultimately forced Michaela's community to grapple with what to do with plays like Anything Goes, classics that some people are still pretty fond of, but that include offensive language or characters. Why are high schools still putting these musicals on? And how are theater directors rethinking the way they put on classics? Today on The Why, reconsidering Plum Blossom. Alan Yu and Steph Yin are reporters for WHYY's The Pulse. They reported this story together. So, Alan, let's back up a second, talk about Anything Goes. Can you describe the scene a little bit more? What exactly was happening that shocked Michaela?
Yeah, so Anything Goes, a big picture view, is a classic Broadway musical. It goes all the way back to the 1930s,
yeah.
And it's a romantic comedy on an ocean liner, and pretty much the plot involves a woman who wants to break off her engagement to a man she doesn't love. And so she is there with her friend, and they are both in love with the other person's partner, and so by the end of it, they swap partners, mm-hmm. essentially. And so to do that, she dresses up as this Chinese woman called Plum Blossom that her fiancé once had a one-night stand with to embarrass her fiancé publicly to break off the engagement.
I see. So what did Michaela do, Steph?
Michaela, her first reaction was a little bit of hesitation and doubt.
I was feeling like, oh, if I speak up too much, maybe people think I'm too sensitive, or I'm overreacting. Like, it's supposed to be a joke. Some people were saying it's not that big of a deal. I expressed my comfort to several of my friends in the orchestra at the time, and afterwards I stopped playing that the Chinese bit, the entrance music, so I didn't play that during the performances. I decided not to.
And how? Pretty soon comes along Plum Pudding.
After she saw the actual musical and felt the hurt of hearing the audience laughing at these jokes that were really offensive, she decided to do something further.
So what did she do?
So Michaela, aside from being on the orchestra, is also an editor of the Princeton High School paper. And so she wrote an op-ed.
It was like 2 a.m. in the morning. I typed it on my phone in the notes app.
Very next day, sent it in.
And then on Monday, we put it in the newspaper and we sent it off to be printed.
And she starts by basically detailing the scene and what she takes issue with. And she also mentions that there are two other Chinese characters that speak broken English and they're thrown in jail for illegal cheating and gambling. And Michaela also pointed out another problem with the production, that, you know, this points to a lack of representation in the theater department of people of color.
Every teacher who I was told who reviewed the musical, as far as I've been told, is white. Every cast member on stage was white except for one girl who was half Korean. So, you know, when your cast is almost all white, your teachers involved is all white, and you perform racist scenes, that kind of sends a message to people of color, especially Asian Americans with this musical, that this space isn't for you.
Why did Princeton High School put on Anything Goes in the first place?
So we talked to Patrick Lenihan, who is in charge of visual and performing arts for Princeton Public Schools. And he mentioned that there are several factors that go into deciding high school musicals. Some of the biggest ones are actually just thinking about the capabilities of the cast, crew, and orchestra.
what they are able to bring to life on the stage, what they are able to have a successful experience with.
Do I have sopranos? Do I have belters? What kind of voices match the songs in this production?
We're going to consider the dance abilities of our cast. We're going to consider, you know, how much money this will cost to put on the stage with scenery and costumes and those constraints that are put upon us.
I know Anything Goes is in general a really popular high school musical and one that has been performed so many times that people know and love it and think the songs are catchy. So I think that's one big reason.
But it's also about the resources you have talent-wise.
Exactly.
Like you described.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like sort of after they consider all the technical aspects of the music and the dance, then they consider, in many cases, maybe secondarily, the message or the context of the play. And where that gets tricky is that you, in many of these cases, even if there is a play that might be somewhat problematic, you can't change the lines. You have to stay true to the original script legally.
Have any other high schools had this problem when they put on older plays?
Yes, so we actually found in 2017, Cherry Hill East mm-hmm. High School had a kind of similar issue when they put on a musical called Ragtime. And the big controversy there was over the use of the N-word, a racial mm-hmm. slur, in this particular play. And there was a big debate. They had a school board meeting. Normally, a school board meeting at this high school gets maybe 10, 20 people. For this particular school board meeting, the local NAACP chapter was there, parents were there, this made national headlines, the AP covered it. So this was a big deal at the time.
So what did they decide?
So they decided to do the play as scripted. Mm. And we spoke to one of the cast members for this production of Ragtime, Cedric Middleton, who is black. He, along with many of his fellow cast members, argued in favor of keeping the racial slurs in Ragtime. And his argument is that in Ragtime, the slur is a part of the character arc of the character that he plays.
We're using it in a negative context, saying like, oh, this is an evil character saying this evil word to this wonderful guy that we all love. Why would he do that? And so it's making us hate that character more.
And that's why Cedric argued that you need to keep this word in it, not because it's kind of provocative to say, but because nothing really encapsulates the hatred quite as strongly as that particular word.
Mm-hmm. So, Steph, how are people putting on these professional productions? I'm assuming it's just not high schools that are trying to deal with this issue with these older shows.
Definitely. This has come up again and again in professional theater as well. So we talked to one person named Phil Chan. He actually co-founded this organization called Final Bow for Yellowface. Yellowface referring to when white actors play Asian characters, often in a really caricatured way. And so Phil actually recently worked on a production of Anything Goes with Arena Stage, which is a regional theater in D.C. So remember, you can't legally change the script. You have to use the lines. So his approach was to just through staging and blocking and intonation to flip the power dynamic and actually give the power to the Asian characters in the show.
The only person that this ruse had to fool was the ship's captain who was performing the marriage ceremony. So we actually had the two Chinese characters coaching the characters on how to be Chinese, how to be this sort of Asian plum blossom. And they kept having to interrupt the caricature to say, no, no, you're doing it wrong. So it was a way for the Chinese characters to be the ones kind of egging on the joke because everybody on the boat wanted to see these two characters, you know, living happily ever after.
Whereas traditionally, the Chinese characters would be the butt of the joke, that turned the scene on its head and made the boat captain the butt of the joke and just made him seem like this sort of racist fool who was so easily fooled by this ruse.
This is The Why. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Why, which means you like deep dives into local stories.
We can't do it without listeners like you.
Consider a monthly gift to WHYY of any amount you choose.
Support your public media station now by visiting WHYY.org.
Thanks for your support.
I'm Annette John Hall. So back to Princeton High School. What happened with that op-ed that Michaela published? Was there any blowback?
Yes, there was quite a bit of blowback. So parents, alumni saw Michaela's op-ed and complained to the school. And this was such a big thing that the school superintendent and the performing arts supervisor had to send an email to the entire Princeton Public School District listserv saying that, and I'm quoting here, that they missed the mark in fully upholding their values of, you know, having an environment free from racial bias or stereotypes. And they said that they were truly sorry that this happened. The school also held a forum for the students in the play just a couple of weeks ago. Around 30 students were there, Michaela included, and it was on the same stage where the musical was performed. And they actually invited Phil Chan, the expert that Steph just talked about, to facilitate this conversation about, you know, what was the problem with the musical as they staged it and what were some solutions to prevent this from being a problem in the future.
So was there any talk at the forum about creating a more inclusive environment by hiring more people of color as teachers and administrators?
Well, Steve Cochran, the superintendent of Princeton Schools, said one of his big takeaways was that the school needs to do a better job of engaging and building trust with diverse community members just on a baseline.
We need to have relationships with people from different backgrounds, different perspectives, different cultures. We need to include them in our processes.
But he didn't explicitly talk about actually hiring more staff and teachers of color, which seems important because one of the things Michaela mentioned is that all of the teachers who were involved in choosing the play were white. And that obviously means they're coming from a perspective where they're not necessarily going to be aware of racial sensitivities.
And Michaela, who started this conversation in the school in a way, said that, you know, this kind of forum is great. This conversation is great. Bringing in outside experts is great. But this should really have happened before they staged the musical and not after.
No, maybe orchestra students, the tech crew members should all be present for the first read through of the script. Whether it's like things like that, we'll all feel more connected and more unified.
Steph, was there any conversation about just not putting on these plays at all? I mean, why stage things that are racist?
Yeah, I think there are definitely people who are asking that exact question. You know, there are so many other options for plays. Why keep putting on problematic works? I think there are other people who feel that these are beloved classics. People know and love the songs, and there's some artistic value to these old plays. And Phil Chan falls in that camp, and he was saying,
what we're really doing is coming from a place of history, coming from a place of preservation, and talking about, okay, what was happening in history when these works were being made, and what are the repercussions that are happening today, and how do we change them to be in line with, you know, what our feelings are today, while still being respectful to the original, because there is artistic value and merit to these works.
And if I might add one quick point, whenever this conversation happens, there will always be someone who says this is censorship. People are like erasing works of history. No one is arguing for that. You don't have to worry about not being able to watch Gone with the Wind in the future or anything like that. No one is arguing for censorship. Michaela is saying that these plays can still be produced. Just do it more sensibly and talk to the people beforehand so that no one is surprised when they see something like this on stage. Princeton is actually picking out next year's spring musical right now. They told us they're not going to shy away from potentially sensitive material, but they will have more conversations about them from the start.
Alan, Steph, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks, Annette.
Thank you for having us.
The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov and Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.